59, Isaiah chapter 59. I know last Sunday we talked about Isaiah chapter number 5, and Isaiah is a good time, I think, a good book of the Bible to see that this was the nation of Israel was a nation that was in trouble. The nation of Israel was having a lot of serious issues. And I know that America is not Israel. I get that and I understand that. But at the same time, I think we can learn some truths where God was trying to get a hold of Israel's attention. That I believe God's trying to get a hold of America's attention too. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 this morning. The title of this morning's message is, God is not the problem. God is not the problem. Isaiah chapter 59, you're going to see here in verse number 1, maybe a familiar passage of Scripture, something you say, well, I know that verse, and it's an amazing chapter of the Bible. We're not going to go through the entire chapter just for the sake of time, but we're going to read through probably at least the first 15 verses and give some commentary and explanation while we look at this thought that God is not the problem. Let's jump in here, Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. What the scripture is saying there is God is not the problem. And what was happening in the nation of Israel at this point in time, Isaiah was sent, and Isaiah was telling them, hey, look, there's captivity is coming, there's slavery is coming, there's a nation that's going to come and take you in bondage and enslave you. And then we know that that nation was going to be Babylon. And that nation, he's saying to him, hey, look, repent, hey, get things right, do things that are right. Here at Isaiah chapter number 59, he's saying, look, God's not the issue. It's not the fact that God cannot take care of the Assyrians or God cannot take care of the Babylonians. It's not the fact that his hands and his arms are too weak to do that. That's not the case at all. God is able and God is capable of doing all things. Then the next thing is, it's not the fact that God's not hearing you. It's not the fact that God's not able to hear you. There's a problem here, and the problem is not God. It goes in verse number 2. It continues on and says, but your iniquities, he's talking about the sin of the people, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So what the scripture is saying here is that the sins of the people, the sins of the nation, and we looked at some of those last Sunday, the sins of the nation is the problem, and the sins of the nation is here found in verses 3, 4, and 5. So verse number 3, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, and nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust and vanity, and speak lies. They conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. And then they continue on to talk about in verses 3 and 4, it shows some of the sins of the nations. Now in verses 5 all the way down to verse number 15, it's a beautiful passage of scripture, but it speaks of the results. Because of the sins of the nations, these are things that are happening. In verse number 5, it puts it this way. They hatch cockatrice eggs. You say, what's a cockatrice? Now, if you look it up in the concordance, it's talking about a viper, some type of poisonous creature. And what the reference here, what they're trying to portray is something that is venomous, something that is as a viper. Many people think of this as maybe an otter type thing. And then it says in verse number 4, and weave spider's webs. And what it's referring to here is saying that they're something that they are kind of demising. There's something poisonous that's evolved here. And it's as spiders, as they weave a web to attract other insects. It's the type of sin that they're talking about here. It says, he that eateth of their eggs dieth. It's poisonous. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of the people they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. I don't know if you notice there's been a change in who's talking here. Verses 5 through 8, it speaks as if the prophet through God is speaking on behalf, talking about they. Now here in verse number 9, you see that it's a change here, speaking from the people's behalf. That's when it says, therefore is judgment. It says, therefore is judgment far from us. And that's not God speaking to them. That's God speaking, the people speaking back to God, recognizing the problem. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light. They're saying they're looking for light, but instead, what do they find? But behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. They continue on. It says, for a person that walks in darkness, the description that's fine here, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. This next phrase, for truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're looking for your help today. God, we need you. God, I'm looking for you to work in the hearts and lives of each person that's here today, including mine. Lord, what an amazing passage of Scripture, and it shows us so many wonderful truths that are found here that we can apply to even our own nation today. God, we're in desperate need of help. There is so much wickedness going around this country that people are calling evil good and good evil. And Lord, we know that you're able. And Lord, we know that you hear us. But God, it's the sins of this world, the sins of our nation. Lord, help us to take a deep look inside our own hearts today. Speak to our hearts. Lord, work in our lives today. Lord, help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, so three simple points, and then a fourth application. The fourth point is going to be an application. The first thing is, and it's the same as the title, God is not the problem. I see what it says here, verses 1 and 2, and I know what many people in the world are saying today. Well, maybe God's not hearing. Maybe God's not listening. Maybe we keep on praying and praying and praying, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Maybe there's something wrong with God. And the reality is, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with what God is able to do and what God is willing to do. So underneath the first point of that, the first point that there's nothing wrong with God, I want you to think about it. The first thing is, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And here's the thing is, God is still able to save. God is able still to work. God is still able to make a difference in the world that we live in. God can still make a difference in America. Sometimes people think, well, I think things are too far gone. I think things are too far past. And I understand what you're saying. And I know as people are looking forward to the end times and they see the signs of the time and they're saying, well, maybe this is it for America. Maybe it is it for America. But it's not because God's not able to help it. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we ever ask or think. And we think of the traumas and the dangers and all the things that are craziness that's going on in the world today. And we're wondering and saying, maybe this is too much for God. You've missed it. You missed the whole point. And see, this is what's happening in the nation of Israel. The judgment of God is coming. And there's a problem that's coming. And Israel's there. And Israel is going to ask this question. Well, maybe God couldn't take care of Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe God couldn't take care of the Babylonians. Maybe the other armies are too big. Maybe the other armies are too strong. Maybe it's the fact that God just can't do that. And I don't want you to miss this, and I want you to understand this. God is capable, and God is able to do everything that's according to his plan and according to his will. Don't start questioning whether or not God is able. You serve a God that can do all things. You serve a God that's capable of doing all things. And this is a perfect example of the fact that there's going to be people out there in the world and say, well, if there is a God, why isn't he doing this, or why isn't he doing that? The scriptures answer that. The second thing is, God is still able to hear. You see here, he says, look, his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. There's nothing wrong with his hearing. Now, there's a lot of things wrong with some of our hearings. Some of us have selective hearing. Some of us have hearing because we're getting older and don't hear as well. My wife used to tell me I need to get my ears cleared out or checked. And one day when I went to Sam's Club, you know what I did? I had them checked out. And they said I had perfect hearing for somebody my age. I don't really know what that means, but at the same time, maybe I have the problem of selective hearing. I think I do hear. I think I just learned how to forget by accident. Maybe that is selective hearing. But sometimes I don't remember. But the point is, God is not like man. God's hearing does not have a problem. God is able to hear, and God is able to save, and God is able to hear. So first and foremost, let me explain something. The truth of the matter is that we were all lost. We are all in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ came into this world to save the sins of mankind. He died on the cross for the sins of mankind. He gave himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came to this world to die for us. He is able still to save to the uttermost. And I know what the scripture is saying here is that it's referring to a nation here. But as an individual, if you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He is able and willing to save you. If you will see yourself as a sinner and see that you have a need because of your sins, you will be eternally separated from God in a horrible place called hell. And because of that sin that's in your life, Jesus Christ loved you. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were sinners on our way to a horrible place called hell, Christ died for us. Why would he have to die? He paid our sin debt for us. He paid our sin price for us. And what we need to do is recognize the fact that we're sinners and recognize who God is and what God did for us and put our faith and trust in him and believe in him and call upon him and say, Lord, please save me. If you've never done that this morning, God is still able to save. God is interested to save. God does want to save you. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is interested in you turning to him today. Praise the Lord for that. He is a God that is able to save. Now, to get back to where we were at as compared to our nation today, I think there's people in the world that are asking these questions saying, where's God at? If God could, wouldn't God? And sometimes I think people that don't know him or that are not close to him, they get confused with this thought. And that's the reason for the message today is God's not the problem. God's hand is not heavy to where it is not shortened to where he cannot save, and that his ear is not heavy to where he cannot hear. God is still able to save. God is still able to hear. And in praying is really important. We need to make sure that we're praying for our nation. We need to pray the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But you see in verse number 2 what the problem is. Verse number 1 is God is not the problem. Verse number 2 is it shows sin is the problem. Sin is the issue. It says here, but your iniquities. He's speaking specifically to them. He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear from you. What the scriptures are saying here is that because of the sins of this nation, God is not willing to hear from them. The Bible even says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear from me. Sometimes we say, man, it seems like all my prayers are doing is just hitting the ceiling. They're not getting any farther. Is there sin in your heart? Is there sin in your life? Because God's not the problem. God is still able to save. God is still able to hear. But our sins is what has separated us from him. Our sins is the one that has caused us not to be able to have our prayers heard the way that he wants to hear them. I want you, once again, I don't want to confuse anybody here, but I want you to think about the fellowship that we have with the Lord. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into a relationship. You're a child of God. Not everyone's a child of God. Everyone is a creation of God, but not everyone is a child of God. And as you have a relationship with your child, there's nothing that's ever going to change that. God, as a child of God, he's your heavenly Father. You're his child of God. Now, you think about it. When you do something, some type of sin, as it's referring to here, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. What that's saying is it's your fellowship is broken. When I choose to willfully sin and do what I want instead of what God wants me to do, and I know I do that, and I do not get it right, my fellowship is broken. My communication is lacking. My relationship as a child of God doesn't change, but my fellowship with him is not as close as it used to be. It's the same thing as when we have in our own relationships. If someone does something to harm you or somebody does something wrong you, I have two sons. If one of my sons did something that on purpose to try to hurt me, you know what that would be? They would still be my child. They still need my son. I could even say I'm disowning him. Doesn't matter. I was the one to help biologically make that child. They're still my son. But our fellowship won't be the same. We may not be as close. It might be something that I say, son, you know, what you did was wrong. What you did, you tried to hurt me. Because of that, until we get that right, we're not going to be as close as we could. And that's what the Lord is saying here. He said, look, I'm not the problem here. He's telling this nation, my hand's not shortened to where I cannot save. My ear's not heavy to where I cannot hear. The sin is the problem. And he's telling this nation, let's get the sin right. Let's get these things fixed. And he says, your sin is what has separated us. So God is not the problem. Sin is the problem. And then look at the description of the sins of this nation. And I think you'll see that how they even reflect into the sins of our nation today. It says, for your hands are defiled with blood. And the first thing that comes into my mind and my thought is that we live in a very violent culture. And there's so much violence that's pushed through the streets. But I also think about the violence in killing the unborn. Abortion is something that I think there's blood on the hands of America for the decision that was made many years ago to say that abortion's okay. And because of that, there's problems, there's sin, there's things that we need to get right. And then it says, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perverseness. And you could look at all these different things, but these are the problems. These are the sins of the nation that the nation is talking about here of Israel, but I think can make application to our lives. You know what? There are fingers with iniquity, lips with spoken lies. We live with people have wicked hearts. People have, obviously, they speak lies all the way. And we talked about this on Wednesday night. There are so many people on one side of the issue and so many other people on one side of the issue. Someone's telling a lie. There's lies all across this nation that are being said to be able to portray their own thoughts and their own feelings, to push on their own agenda. Verse number 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They trust in lies, worthless lies. And that's what's destroying our nation today is lies from people and somebody behind the scene that is trying to cause all these different problems and people who hate America and people who hate God. And there are people who are swallowing lies and believing these lies and their vanity, trust in this vanity and speak lies. They conceived mischief and they bring forth iniquity. I think about the wicked hearts that are mentioned here. Our society tells us that private morality can be disconnected from public service. But in our society, public approval validates wrong behavior. Now, the public we live in today, they're validating things that are anti-scripture and anti-God. And we talked about on Wednesday night about how there is an absolute truth. There is absolutely, this is the Bible, and it's right, and that's what we need. We need truth today. And because of that, there's nobody that's calling for true justice. There's nobody that's pleading for the truth. They're trusting in lies. And then in verse number 5, I want you to see, and this is where we're going to spend a little bit of time at today, the results of the sin problem. Verse number 1 tells us God's not the problem. Verses number 2, 3, and 4, it teaches us, hey, sin is the problem. Sin is the issue. And we spent a lot of time with that Sunday morning. So because it's last Sunday morning, so we're going to kind of glance over that today. But here in verses 5 through 15, I want you to see the results of the sin problem. The results of the sin problem. First thing I want you to see, it's a diet of deception. It is a diet of deception. There's many people who are deceiving this world today. Isaiah is saying that this is what was happening to his people in the day. They had been eating, they had been swallowing poison eggs, in a sense, snake-type eggs, viper-type eggs. They are deadly type of philosophies that have been hatched by the devil that they've been sitting on. And it says in verse number 5, they hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider webs. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. And I began thinking about the different philosophies that are ruining our world today. I think about the materialism and the humanism and the new ageism and the liberalism that's going across this world today, that it seems like they're there and they're poisonous eggs. And it's saying that people are eating of those eggs and people are buying into these philosophies. There are things that are anti-God and anti-Bible, anti anything that stands for what is right. And I want to encourage you today that what Isaiah was saying is they were taking part of this. They were, and it says here, they hatch cockatrice eggs. They were saying that they sat there and they allowed these thoughts that had been implanted by the devil. They allowed these philosophies that had been given over to the devil, and now they're coming to fruition. We see all the things that have been taught and all the things that have been planned. Now you see all the things that are happening and you're reaping what you sow. Not only do you see that it's a diet of deception, it's a web of wickedness. In Isaiah 9:5, it talks about how the eggs die and that which is crushed breaketh out into the viper. Verse number 6, it's talking about a web of wickedness. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. And I began thinking about things that are attractive. You think about a spider. What the spider does is he builds the web to be able to catch other insects. And I think what they're saying is that they weave a web of wickedness. I think about the sin of pornography and how it shows something that's attractive and something that it looks good, and how it takes and becomes a chain and becomes bondage and becomes an issue and becomes a problem. There is a web of wickedness that is found in with immorality and sexual type sins that's all across our country, and it's gone over to where it's become where men are with men and women are with women, and all the different issues and problems that are in the world today. It's a web of wickedness. Then I also think about how they're all it seems like they're doing is trashing the truth. It seems like all they're doing is taking the truth that's there, and there's an issue and there's a problem. So because of the results of these sins, their feet, in verse number 7, they run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, and wasting and destruction are on their paths. Their desire is not just to have a different opinion. Their desire is to destroy the truth. And it says, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. So verse number 1 shows you God's not the problem. Verses 2, 3, and 4 shows you the type of sins he was talking about. Verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 is talking about the results of the sin problems. There's a diet of deception here. There is a web of wickedness. And now you're going to see there is a trashing of the truth. Verse number 9 begins to talk about from the nation when they change the different ways that the grammar is written. Therefore is judgment far from us. Because all these things have happened, judgment is far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. There is justice that's not being found. We wait for the light, but behold obscurity. And I can picture what's going on in our world today. They're wanting truth. They want light, but all they see is obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. It seems that so many people today are walking in darkness. Then I like the imagery that's found in verse number 10. Imagine what it's like to be a blind person as you're walking through. It says, we grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if it had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. They're saying, hey, we don't know what direction to go. It's like we're just trying to feel our way. There is no truth. There is no absolute. There's nothing here that is really giving us direction. And then it continues on. We roar as like bears and mourn as sore like doves. We look for judgment. There is none. For salvation. But it is far off from us. For our transgressions, are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. And it continues on, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart of the words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. Doesn't seem like there's much justice in the day and time that we live in. And then it says, for truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. I want you to understand, truth is not dead, it's just fallen in America. There is nothing wrong with God, and there's nothing wrong with His truth. It's just fallen in the streets, and as it's fallen in the streets, it seems like it's being trampled on and trampled on and trampled on, and it seems like no one wants the truth. They want to keep on pushing it down. But what is going to help our nation? What is going to help us today? And this is the application, is truth is what's needed today. You go to verse number 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. So he's speaking to a nation here that's on the cusp of destruction, on the cusp of judgment. And he's saying, look, God's not the problem. Your sin is the problem. But you have instead had a steady diet of deception. You've had instead a web of wickedness. Instead, you have allowed truth to be trampled. But what is needed today is for the truth to be picked up and given out. What is needed today is for the truth of the importance of the Word of God. And if you consider the different things, first, God refers to the Bible as a word of truth. This is truth. Not only does God refer to the Bible as a word of truth, He says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In John chapter number 14, He talks about how He's here and He will lead us through truth and lead us the right directions with the Word of God. Even Jesus Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The church is also called the pillar and ground of the truth. And the Apostle John even said in the 3 John verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The only way to defeat the deception and the wickedness of the world today is through truth. But today it's been dropped. It doesn't seem like anybody's carrying the truth. And that's what we've been called to do. As believers and as Christians, we all sit and see what's going on in the world, and we're thinking, oh, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen next. And we know what the Word of God says. We know, obviously, that someday He's coming back for His people, and someday we're going to be in heaven for eternity. Praise the Lord for all those things. But what to do today? What to do in the day and time that we live in? We need to make sure that we be people of truth, but also that we be taking the truth with us. The truth has fallen the streets. Can someone who had the truth drop it? Yes. Can someone who has never had the truth drop it? No. The truth has fallen because of the fact that we do not give out the truth as we should. And I want to encourage you as believers today to give out the Word of God. Give out the truth. Give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take stands for the things that are right. Take stands for the things that you know that God will want you to do. Let Him lead you and guide you, and pray to a God and ask God to heal our lands. Ask God to do what is necessary. But the problem is found, it's the same problem with the nation of Israel, the same problem with the America today, is many times the same problem in a Christian's life. They got sin in their own heart and they got sin in their own life, and they don't want to get it right. Yeah, the nation of Israel is getting ready to be taken away in judgment because of their sins. And yes, America seems as if they're facing so much controversy and so much problems, so many issues. It's because of the sins of their nation. But what about the sins of the church? What about us? In our hearts, in our lives, is there something that we need to work on? Is there something that we need to change? Is there something that we need to get right? Is it something that, what does the Bible say? That if my people, which are called by my name... That's how the nation is going to be healed, is when God's people, which are called by His name, if they'll humble themselves, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, if we'll seek after Him, if we will do what we're supposed to do, then God, who is not the problem, God will be able then to save, and God will then heal, and then God will hear and heal our lands. I know the last couple Sundays, the messages might have been a little bit similar. And the purpose of that is the greatest thing we can do to help our nation today is to make sure we're right with God. Amen. As we're making sure we're right with God, we're carrying the truth. It says here, the truth has fallen in the streets. Equity cannot enter. There is no justice around. There is problems, and we see people that are like the blind that are groping. Even at noonday, when the lights are bright and everything, we still don't know what to do next, still don't know what to do. The people are groping for what the best thing is, and they, you know, let God lead you and guide you. Stop believing the lies that are found in verse number 5 about the cockatrice eggs and the weave of the spider's web, the deception that's been given. Don't believe into what the garbage that's being tried to push down our throats, but instead, see what truth is. Don't let truth befall in the streets. Stand for what is right and do what is right and allow God to work in your heart and life. Today, as a nation that is in crisis and a nation that's on the cusp of what I believe to be judgment of God, what are we supposed to do? The same that we should have been doing all along. Carry the truth with you. Take the truth. Remember, it's the word of truth. It's the spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and I am the way, the life, and the truth. Any man that cometh on the Father, no, sorry. The church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. Over and over in the scriptures, we learn that we're supposed to be taking it with us. Are we standing for truth today? I want to encourage you as believers, look deep inside. Remember, God's not the problem. He's still able to save. He's still able to hear. Well, why does it seem like my prayers aren't getting answered? Is there something in my heart and life that I need to get right? Ask God to search you this morning to make sure there's nothing in your heart that's between you and the Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you do what only you can do. As people, we can study and we can present, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the work. I'm thankful that you're not the problem, God. I'm thankful that you're still able to save, you're still able to hear. Lord, this has been a sin problem for a long time for our nation. And Lord, we want help, we want encouragement, we want change. But God, we see the results of these sins. There's a web of wickedness out there. There is a diet of deception that's out there, Lord. There is a trampling of the truth. And God, we need your help. As believers, God, help us to turn to you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to take a nice long look inside to see if there's something that is separating our fellowship with you. Lord, we want America to do better. We want to see the things to be fixed. But God, show us where we're struggling with. In Jesus' name, amen.